Welcome back to another episode of the Nationwide Podcast. I'm your host, Diarra Springer, and here with us we have Makayla Harrison.
Hi.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to
Thank
the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, some of you may or may not know, but Makayla was the leading actress for Chrissy. And I think Chrissy came out around in 2012-ish.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. And it was the buzz movie back then. How did you even land the role of Chrissy?
So the dance school I was going to at the time, they were also the production company that was producing the film. And so they had the auditions in-house. Mm-hmm. And me and some of my friends, we didn't take it seriously because it's a movie. We were like, oh, you know, this was so fun. Let's go audition. And I got the role.
Wow.
And it was a whirlwind after that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it like filming Chrissy?
Honestly, I always imagined filming as being this, especially as a child, being this serious thing. But they made it so much fun, so engaging for all of us, because I think majority of the cast, we were about 10, 11 at the time.
Yeah.
And so we were dealing with like long shoot days, mm-hmm. and, you know, all this equipment and something so serious, but they made it so fun for us. And so honestly, I had a great time shooting, and then also post-production and the traveling and touring. The whole thing was such an amazing experience.
Ah, where did you travel to?
Boston, New York, Atlanta, Canada. They took it to UK as well, throughout the Caribbean, a few places.
Yeah. And how did you even handle it back at that time? Because as you said, you were like 11 or 12. You were really young.
Mm-hmm.
How did you even manage doing so much at such a young age?
I can say for sure that my mother played a big role in that,
mm-hmm.
because she made sure that even though everything with the movie was taking like a whirlwind,
mm-hmm.
it was going all over, she made sure I stayed grounded, yeah. that I was doing my schoolwork. Even all the time I was touring, I was having like these packets that she asked my teachers to send with schoolwork for me to do while we were traveling. And so I can definitely say she kept me grounded that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that I knew that even though like this whole superstar thing was happening,
mm-hmm.
that I had to go home at the end of the day, go to school, go to dancing, go to, you know, practice, and that I was living the life of a normal child at the end of the day. It wasn't like Rihanna or something like that.
Shout out to mommy.
Shout out to mommy.
And outside of being an actor, you are a lot of things. You know, you are also mm-hmm. a director, mm-hmm. a dancer, a producer, mm-hmm. a lot of things. Where did this love for the arts come from?
I can't pinpoint one thing exactly. I just know that from a young age, I was interested in it. My mom put me in dance from the time I was about 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was being exposed to productions and films and dance from a young age. And being around that and seeing all the possibilities, all the things I could create, all the things I could be a part of, that really got me excited. And then as I continued growing up, I stayed interested. My focus shifted, so it wasn't always focused on dance. Sometimes I was focused on theater, sometimes
yeah.
I was focused on film, but it was always something creative.
And you know, one of the things that definitely comes out when we're having the mm-hmm. creatives conversation
mm-hmm.
is how difficult it is to do it in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
How have you managed to have a successful career so far?
Honestly, you have to be a chameleon. You can't mm-hmm. just be stuck on one thing. You have to be willing to do at least 3 jobs to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to stay excited because of how hard it is to be a creative professionally in Barbados. You have to be, it has to be something you're excited about, that you wake up every day and you say, I want to do this, because it's going to be hard. And
yeah.
if you hate it, you're not going to be successful. So I think being open to doing things, working with people, collaborating, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be really passionate about it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges you face?
Low pay is at the top of the list.
Yeah.
Sometimes even, I don't want to say finding work because there are jobs available, but off season when it's not crop over,
mm-hmm.
it can be way more challenging to find things to do. And even during crop over itself, the work that's available is one type of work. So it's mainly like soca and this kind of thing. But yeah, if you want an opportunity to do like contemporary work or like be really experimental and creative, there's not many outlets to do that. Maybe NIFCA, but outside of that, there's not many things to do.
Yeah. So how do you keep yourself busy even during the off seasons?
I don't know. Luckily for me, my friend group in dance and in the arts is vast. And so somebody always has something going on usually. Yes. And that's one way to do it. But outside of that, I wouldn't even be able to tell you. The best advice I would say is to make your own things happen. Do your own things. Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, mm-hmm. you know, you were a part of the Beijing Dance Project and you went all the way to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And I think you were one of the youngest.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the youngest.
The youngest. What was the age range for the others?
I think it was like maybe, I want to say 16, 18 was the next above me. And mm-hmm. then the oldest, not to tell out your age, but I think they're either in their late 20s, wow. 30s, early 30s, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
What was that like being one of the youngest or the youngest?
It was crazy, yeah. Especially because when we went, I had just started back dancing because I kind of fell out of love with it. And so I had taken like a 2-year break. Mm-hmm. So when I did that tour, I had only been dancing again for like 1 year. And so preparing to go on that tour was something that my body had not been accustomed to, because obviously these people are training professionally. And yeah, it was hard, but I am glad that I committed to doing it, because going to Jamaica, they're on another level. Mm-hmm. Like seeing what they are doing over there, it made me even more inspired to take dance seriously, to take the art seriously, just seeing the possibilities that were available to me. Mm-hmm. And even being a dancer in Barbados, you know, sometimes your scope can be a bit limited in terms of saying, oh, well, you know, it's hard, so I got to do this, I got to do this. But going there, so that like, you can travel, yeah. You can do this, it's nothing is impossible to do. Once you make things happen for yourself, you can do it, mm-hmm. yeah.
And what was that preparation like leading up to the actual tour?
So it was a lot of rehearsals. We used to rehearse at Harrison's College mm-hmm. in their space. And we used to rehearse at nights. I can't even remember the hours, but I would say anywhere from like 7 to 10 or 7 to 11.
Wow.
Going, training. Because there was a few dances, I think 2 or 3, if I'm not mistaken, 2 or 3, that we were preparing to take up there. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, long nights working to get everything clean. And our director at the time, mm-hmm. he wasn't living in Barbados. He was living in New York, I think, or he was living in the States or Columbia somewhere. And so it was a lot of video calls and trying to communicate. And then they were liaisoning with our rehearsal director, who was trying to manage us on the ground. It was a lot.
I can imagine.
It was a lot, but it made us so ready that by the time mm-hmm. we got there, nothing was out of place. You were ready to go from the time you hit the ground.
Great. Mm-hmm. And earlier you mentioned about a hiatus that you took from the dance world. Mm-hmm. What caused the hiatus?
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Honestly, I can't even say for certain. I think I was just losing hope that something would come of it. I just felt like, yeah, I love dancing, but I don't know. I didn't see any future in it. And yeah, and then normal teenage things at that time was like, yeah. Oh, my body. So I just took the break. And then at that time, I started doing theater arts at school. And then I started loving theater arts. And I was like, wow, maybe this is it for me. And and then I started doing Mustard Seed.
Nice.
So I went into theater full throttle. And then I auditioned for BCC. Theater and dance separately. Mm-hmm. I got into both.
Wow.
And then I tried to, that's when I was like, oh my gosh, which one should I pick? I really wanted to pick theater, but the dance teacher, Auntie Shama, at the time, she said, well, it's better to do dance first because you're young, your body can handle it. No, if you want to go back to theater later, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I started back dancing and fell in love with it again. And yeah, the rest is history.
And luckily you fell back in love with it because you're part of Rhythm Tribe now. What is that like?
That is crazy in itself, especially during crop overtime. Rehearsals. There's a million and one things going on. But honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. Because I love performing. I love rehearsing. I think rehearsing is like underrated because it's the longest part of the process. People often think like, oh, performing, like that's where you get your, but no, rehearsing, going to rehearsals and practicing and being with your friends. I love that process, honestly.
Walk me through what this crop over season was like for you.
Well, this season wasn't as long for me as it has been before because I just came back from Paris. So I just moved back. So as soon as I moved back, within that week, I was already at rehearsals. Within like 2 days, I think, I was at rehearsals for, I can't even remember. It was so many things. We were rehearsing for Bacchanal Time 10, Pick of the Crop, and a couple other things at the same time. So it was definitely like a crash course in how to dance again because in Paris, I was not moving. I was not dancing. And so coming back and dancing, it was like, wow. And obviously, everyone else has been training and dancing this whole time. So trying to slot back in was a bit of an adjustment, but it worked out.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about Paris. What was Paris all about?
So I went to Paris to do my master's. I did a double master's in arts and cultural management.
Kudos to you.
Thank you so much. Kudos. Thank you so much. It was hard and I would not recommend it. I would not recommend it, but I'm glad I did it.
Awesome. And what was the transition from Barbados to Paris? What was that even like?
It was an adjustment for sure. I was nervous because obviously I've never lived on my own and never been in a foreign speaking country. They spoke French, obviously. But yeah, that was an adjustment because I don't speak French, never spoke French in school. I hated French. So I was like, oh, well, you know, it will work out. My course was in English, thankfully. So I just needed enough French to get me through the streets and supermarket and things like that. That was the biggest adjustment, was the language. But outside of that, with my school, everybody was international students. And so we all had that shared experience, luckily. So it wasn't like I was like a fish out of water, thankfully. I had people to lean on. But overall, I would say Paris opened my eyes to everything that's possible with the arts. Like, Barbados is much more, obviously, a much smaller scale art community. And yes, we have events and we have things going on. We have collaborations. But I just felt like Paris, they were doing it on such a larger scale. And everybody was excited about creating. Everybody wanted to collaborate. Even if you didn't have the money to do it, people were finding and making their own opportunities on the street, selling their work, performing. And it just really made me inspired to come back and bring some of that energy back home with me.
Awesome. Because now you're back.
Yeah.
What are you going to be up to?
So right now, I don't have a job. So I'm using this time now to create things. I've never been not in school at this point. I've always been studying. So now I have all this free time and I'm trying to make the best use of it. So I'm working on some projects. I'm supposed to be presenting a live version of my film at Cari Festa. So now I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. And then outside of that, yeah, any opportunity that comes my way, I'm just going with it.
Can you share about that film?
The film?
Yeah.
So Abida Kun, One Born to End All Future Births, that was a film I made at UB in my final year for Capstone. And it's a film basically about the destruction of the earth at our hands and how we are like forsaking our spiritual connection to the earth and we're gonna get our comeuppance basically. So yeah, and now I'm presenting a live version of that. And it's gonna be in a shorter time frame. The original was like 18 minutes and now I'm doing 5 to 10. So I have to figure out how that's gonna work, but I'm excited for the challenge, honestly.
What even inspired the film?
I couldn't even tell you, honestly. I think at school at the time, we were learning a lot about Orishas and certain African faiths. And so I think that was inspiring to me at the time. And then obviously climate change, it getting hotter and hotter and hotter every day. And then it's like, how can I tap into this? And yeah, I just brought those two things together.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. All right. I know that you're back from Paris. Mm-hmm. What do you think the Barbadian creative sector might need, you know, not to get on Paris's level, but, you know, to improve and expand? What do you think is missing?
The most important things I would say, I think collaboration between artists is lacking. I feel like we don't really do a lot of interdisciplinary collaboration unless it's like a national stage, crop over, NIFCA, whatever. I feel like artists should be like, hey, what are you doing on Saturday? I have this idea. Can you help me out? Even if it's not for financial reward, I think the creation of the art at the end of the day is what's most important. And then when you feel like you've established yourself and gone on a certain level, then you can look at gain, financial gain. But I feel like that collaboration is missing across disciplines. And also, I would say, like, the financial knowledge, like, how to market yourself as a business, manage your finances as a business, run your operation, your personal operation as a business. I feel like that's missing a bit. Sometimes, as you said, it's hard in the streets. It's hard out here. And I feel like some artists struggle hard with that. And there's not really, I can't really say for certain that there are the tools in place for us to know how to, but I feel like that's something that's really missing, knowing how to manage yourself as a business and really, really market yourself.
Well, hopefully what you've learned overseas, you can bring here, and that could be the start of something beautiful for us in Barbados.
I'm hoping so.
Awesome. Michaela, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure. We love having you here. And all the best. Thank We're looking so forward to Carrie Festa. Looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to all future projects that you do.
Thank you so much.
And of course, thank you to our viewers for watching. The podcast will be nothing without you. So thank you. And stay tuned for another episode of Nationwide.